Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Lines available for you right now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're talking about the gospel message, taking a deep dive into it this particular month and talking about what it is. It's good news. It's the proclamation of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. News is something that's already happened. And yes. So what we're talking about is something that's already happened. Christ died 2,000 years ago. He was buried. He was raised back to life 2,000 years ago, and he ascended into heaven. That's news that's already taken place. And now the gospel messenger tries to connect that story to our day-to-day experience now, here and now. And that's where faith comes in. God acted in Christ by grace. We receive that act through faith. And so that's how it becomes a part of our day-to-day living. That's what makes it relevant to us 2,000 years later. And here's the benefit. John writes about it in 1 John 5:11-13, one of the great passages that deal with our assurance of salvation. And John wrote this, and this is the testimony. So he's giving a testimony. He's proclaimed the good news about Jesus, and now he's giving us a testimony as to what that means to us. God has given us eternal life. That's a good testimony right there. Yeah. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So here, this gospel message is becoming real to us. It's the good news about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Through it, we receive eternal life. And what is that eternal life? It's Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus Christ alive, living in us today. Whoever has the Son has life. So do you have the Son? If the answer is yes, then you have life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's pretty clear, isn't
it? Absolutely.
There's not a lot of confusion in this statement. It's just very black and white. And we try to make other things a little more palatable and, you know, hey, they have some good things. But, you know, when we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about a life and death issue. When we receive Christ, we go from death to life. Why? Because we receive Jesus, the one who is life. Yeah. So if you have the Son, you have the life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And there's no other way to get life other than through the Son. And then he says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to be assured of that. He doesn't want you to walk in doubt. He doesn't want you to wonder every single day whether you're saved or not.
Used to do that. It's no fun.
That's right. I used to do that, but not anymore. Why? Because I know I have the Son, and I know that I have life in him. Yeah. That's what this gospel is all about, so that you can have life here and now.
That is Basic Gospel, friends, and you've tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us on this edition of Basic Gospel. We have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. The calls are beginning to come in and fill the screen, but we still have room for you if you call quickly. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Calgary and talk to Miles. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you as well.
Hi, Bob. And is Richard there today?
Yes.
Richard is
Hello,
here.
Sir.
Hi, Richard. And Bob Davis, too. So day-to-day living for many of us is getting up out of bed and going to work every day. And I'm wondering, maybe the audience can help me with this question. A lot of enterprises or companies, they'll have posted values that they believe in, things like integrity, innovation, diversity, these sorts of values. But I once heard Rabbi Zacharias say, love is the supreme ethic. And I'm now in search of an enterprise where they have that as a stated value. Love is the supreme ethic. Now, you know, I'm sure there's churches and basic gospel would say that that's they subscribe to that. But I'm talking about corporations or finance or engineering, oil and gas. You know, I doubt that Volkswagen, for example, has it. But does anybody know of such a company?
Well, Miles, I think most companies form to provide a service in hopes to gain a profit. I mean, that's pretty much the definition of business. It's a, if it's a publicly held company, there's owners involved, and there's kind of the bottom line. And hopefully within that company, what makes it move forward to create, to help create those profits are good, solid core values. But I don't know of any company that has love in their mission statement, so to speak, other than churches and various ministries. But I think where you know the ethics come into play is through individuals that work at these various companies. What drives you as an individual? The company may have some stated core values, but as a believer in Christ, you have something that actually transcends those company values. You have the living God inside of you, making his presence known, manifesting himself through you, which is going to look like love. Why? Because God is love. That's who he is. So I think on an individual basis, that's where you can bring love, that supreme ethic, into the marketplace so that somebody can see something different than what they're just going to see out there in the world.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm thinking I may have to just be the catalyst for that myself. So going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you realize that if a company did put down love as a primary driver of the company, that the company would then also create or try to create a whole bunch of metrics to demonstrate that love principle made them money. Well,
yeah.
Now you've just destroyed the definition of agape love. It's not about return on investment. It's about loving someone in spite of whatever they've done. No contingency kind of love. And that just is antithetical with the profit motive. And I'm not saying the profit motive is bad, but you can't codify love that way. What you can do, like Bob said, is bring it with you into the workplace. And
well, I think of Chick-fil-A. We're Chick-fil-A fans. Love, I could eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich almost every day. And some weeks, that's what happens. But Truett Cathy put together that company and wanted to make the best chicken sandwich on the planet. And I think he succeeded at that. And I kind of like them because they're a Georgia company. They were formed right there in my great home state. But he's a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
What drives him individually and I think puts a stamp on the company is his love for Christ and his faith in Christ and the Word of God and the gospel. So I think individually, even though I don't know what their mission statement is, I've been into 100 of their restaurants. I've never seen, you know, love. I may have missed it if it's there. But he's marked that company with his fingerprints of love that stem from his relationship with Christ. And I think there are probably other companies like that. So, look at the leadership and see what's going on individually there. And I think if you're looking for a position in the corporate world, that might be a good place to look. Look at the CEO and see how he handles his individual life.
Well, and I think a company like his, I think probably safe to say that he's not inclined to, at the first drop of a profit margin, go to implementing robots and such.
Right, Right.
A lot of work, because that's what I think we see in so many corporate enterprises. So, we can't, it's antithetical that love would govern a corporation in an agape fashion, but, we could.
But I think there are individuals that bring that.
Yeah,
bring
it with them.
So how they relate to one another as individuals? Do they esteem one another? Do they respect one another? Those sort of things can be brought to the culture by the leadership, and that's where Christians can really make a difference in the marketplace, both at a leadership level and just at any particular level. Wherever you serve, do all to the glory of God. Let your light shine, so to speak. Be a person that is above reproach, that really does treat fellow workers as a result of the love of Christ. So
I love the response when you say thank you to one of their employees. What do they say? My pleasure.
Yes, that's
instead
right.
of no problem. I don't like that at all. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Miles, thanks for your call. Yeah. We appreciate it.
And no matter what Bob Christopher said, this is not a commercial endorsement for Chick-fil-A.
That's right. Well, thanks for your call, Miles. We have a great offer this week. We had a wonderful email from Dave. He wrote to me, and he said, this week is my birthday. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there.
I was going to talk about that.
I wear medium shirts, and I love golf.
Yes,
and,
he does.
Love to read. So,
pink
just
golf
throwing
balls.
Those. But what we what I wanted to do this week was to actually give back. And so I asked Harvest House if they would join me in a celebration and reduce the price of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
And they did it.
They did. They loved the idea and reduced the price of the e-book.
Right.
Not the paperback, but the e-book. So the Kindle version, the Nook version, if you're a Barnes & Noble fan, if you use iBook or that sort of thing, I think it's reduced there as well. So any electronic version that you can buy, they've slashed the price.
Drum roll, Richard.
That's right. To $1.99.
Yeah.
$1.99.
That's a giveaway. That's just a giveaway.
Dave responded to an email that we sent out. He said, happy birthday. I'm almost finished reading your book. God has answered my prayer about being led by the Spirit. So he was struggling with how to put that into play on a day-to-day basis, but he was praying to the Lord, please show me what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And I think some of the things that he read in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace helped kind of put the pieces together for him. And then he goes on to say, I want to buy the book for all my family and friends.
And
well, now he has a great opportunity, $1.99 this particular week. But I love this line. I love what he says. I'm 69 years old today. I feel like a brand new Christian.
Yeah.
That's what happens when truth really clicks in your mind. You have that light bulb moment, that joy of that new life that you got when you first believed. It just comes back in and emanates out, and it's just such a powerful reality. And so I'm so thankful for Dave, and I'm so grateful that he's feeling like a brand new Christian, and I just pray that joy remains. But it's my prayer that many others like Dave will experience that same joy, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to make this book available at such a slashed price, price. So take advantage of it this week. Tell your friends, share it with as many people as you can, that Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is available at Amazon for $1.99. They can go to the Simple Gospel, SimplyGrace.com website. Simple Gospel, SimplyGrace.com. All the information on how to purchase is right there.
Yeah, and if you do that, share it with your friends and on Facebook and Twitter, and just post it there. And, possibly we can get Simple Gospel, Simply Grace into the top 10 downloads at wherever it's downloaded from, Amazon.
Amazon or Barnes & Noble, that would be a wonderful thing if that happened. And what that would mean is this: more and more people are getting exposed to what this gospel message really is.
And so that's the deal. Let me recap just very quickly. Order Simple Gospel Simply Grace, the Kindle ebook for yourself at only $1.99 from simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Share the link on Facebook and Twitter, and then write a review if you can, and that will help us get the word out.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Tim, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Tim. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello, my brothers.
Hello to you.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Let me tell you just quickly what I do. I have an opportunity to go and pray for other churches on Sundays, and I've really had no one say, hey, don't come and pray at my church. But sometimes I have a little bit of denominational issues, which I pray for everybody, no matter what. If I'm totally convinced that what they believe is wrong, I just ask for God's grace and mercy. That's all I know to pray for them. But I've got a guy that gave me a card, and he said, listen, guy, the sinner's prayer is a lie. Baptism is what saves. And he references James 2:19 and 1 Peter 3:21. And I want to speak to this guy and speak the truth in love, and I don't want to step on his toes. And I know you guys do this every day, speaking the truth in love, that is. So I was wondering if you could give me an idea what I can say to this guy and do it in love.
Well, Tim, here's what we say. I mean, if somebody calls us and we find out that they're not in Christ, they've never really been made alive, we share the gospel with them, and then, you know, if they want to receive the Lord, then we will lead them in a prayer. And one of the things that we make note of before we actually pray is to say, this prayer doesn't save you. This prayer is merely a reflection of the faith that God has put in your heart, that the gospel message has delivered to you. And so you're just expressing a reality that's already there. That's what the prayer is. So it's,
yes, sir. I totally agree.
Yeah. So that's how we would handle that. And there's something, but the prayer too, there's something about the public acknowledgement, the verbal acknowledgement.
Yeah, like Romans 10:9-10.
Yes. Yes.
You're confessing with your mouth. But the guy I'm talking to is actually a pastor of a church, and he's saying that, no, although you've accepted Christ, unless you're baptized, you're lost. And I know that's wrong, and I don't know really how to express that.
So he's probably a Church of Christ guy, maybe. And
you got it.
Okay, saying that you know, baptism, water baptism is what saves. That's where your sins are washed away. Well, you're not going to find that in the word of God. You cannot add to the gospel message. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. So Jesus is the main character.
Yes, indeed.
As soon as you introduce water baptism into the mix, Jesus no longer is the main character. You are the main character. And so you're going to say, it's my water baptism that saves. Well, it's not water baptism that saves. It's not a sinner's prayer that saves. It's Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yeah.
And you might have some conversations with him, but he's going to dig those spurs in deep and try to convince you that you've got to be baptized in water. And not just baptized in water. You got to be baptized in his church by one of his pastors.
In that church, absolutely.
Yes.
That's what he's telling me. And I know that's wrong, but I love the guy, but I don't know how to take his spurs off. And maybe I can't, and you know, maybe God.
Well,
can.
if you find out how, would you tell us?
For sure.
Like I said,
pray for him.
Yeah, continue to pray and just love him and those sort of things. But it does get down to what Paul talked about in Galatians, that, you know, people are straying to another message that's really no gospel at all.
Right.
And it's anything that we try to add to it. Water baptism is not part of the gospel. But you could give him all kinds of verses, and then he will counter with all kinds of verses, and you'll walk away, feeling more secure in your position. He'll walk away feeling more secure in his position, and that's about how it'll turn out. But just continue to pray for him and love him, and maybe God will open up his eyes so that he can see the fullness of Christ. That's the whole thing. It's not that you're saying there's a wrong way and there's a right way. You're saying that it's all Jesus. That Jesus is everything. So you're not going to argue that the sinner's prayer is the way, and he's going to argue water.
No.
Yeah, you're just going to.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's
absolutely.
Bottom line. That's it.
Absolutely. Right. So stay that course and just deliver that, and then leave the results of that in God's hands.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, guys, let me tell you, I love you guys. Y'all are doing such an awesome job, and it's just amazing. I got a chance to talk to you. God bless y'all today, and I'll be praying for you guys too. Y'all are doing
well. We appreciate that, and if you ever want to come to our offices and pray with us and pray for us, we would love to meet you face to face.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. I'd love to do that sometime.
Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some information. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Hang on. Well, let's go down. Uh-oh. I hit the wrong button, Tim, so if you can call us back, I'd greatly appreciate it. Let's talk with Bobby down in McAllen, Texas. Hi, Bobby.
How you doing, Bob?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Just had a quick question here. I love the ministry. I love what you guys are doing. I love the simplicity of how you guys explain the gospel message. My question is... I understand that we're totally forgiven. I understand that we're in fellowship we have union with the Holy Spirit. I go to a Baptist church and they talk about, our behavior, our lifestyle can break off communication and hinder our prayers. And they kind of use 1 Peter 3, I believe. And they also talked about, David in the Old Testament that, if I hold iniquity in my heart, that God will not hear my prayers. And, I know that I believe that the word is very clear that, if we're in Christ, we have union with him. And we may perceive that we walk away from him, but the reality is that he resides in us, and we have that fellowship. But I just wanted to get your take on other verses or how I can, support my new covenant view that I have.
Well, Bobby, I think that's the perfect answer. When David was praying, there was an old covenant in effect. The once for all sacrifice for sin had yet to be made, and so when he appealed to God, for example, in Psalm 51, he appealed to God on the basis of his mercy. Have mercy on me, O God. He knew there was no sacrifice that he could bring to the table that would bring about forgiveness for the heinous things that he had done. So he was appealing to God's mercy. He said some things there like, please don't take your spirit from me. Do not cast me from your presence. We know that in the new covenant, God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So we see that a lot of things that David prayed for in the Old Testament have found their fulfillment in the new. And we can say, Lord, thank you that your presence is always with me in spite of the crummy things that I may do or say or think. You have promised you will never leave me nor forsake me. And that in and of itself gives me comfort and gives me rest and gives me this awesome desire to trust you to live your life through me. Bobby, let me put you on hold. We'll send you our New Covenant Bible Study Guide. You hang on, okay?
Thanks for being with us, everybody. A couple events coming up for those of you in the WMCA New York area and the WAVA Washington, D.C. area. We have the Basic Gospel Tour, the Simply Grace Tour coming up. That's coming up later this month. So we encourage you to go to the events tab at basicgospel.net. Get the information. We'd love to see you there. Well, we're out of time for this time, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis wishing you a God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel.